Something to really think about this Memorial Day. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy, and along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you, Barry. It's been a very busy weekend, but we're plugging along and getting things done.
I think so, and as you know, Charles, we have come to this time of the year where everybody stops and we reflect on the service and the sacrifice that people have given for our country, what we call true patriotism. Either that or we're spending a lot of time in the sun at the beach. Depends on who you talk to. But the key is, through all of this and through our observance of the Memorial Day holiday, I think it's important, and you and I have chatted about this a little bit offline, about making sure that there's some clear distinctions so that we know exactly what it is and isn't that we are celebrating or observing on this Memorial Day. And Chuck, this topic that we're talking about today really kind of was your brainchild, and so I'm going to let you lead our discussion today on this topic.
I was a little bit disturbed. I think you and I have talked over and over and over again over about the United States of America and our love for the country and our sort of worry about what's going on. And honestly, being worried about your country is a sign of patriotism,
yes,
that you love it and you don't want it to see to do the wrong thing. You know, there's an old saying that says, right or wrong.
My country, right or wrong, yeah.
No, my country, may she always be right, but my country, right or wrong, is the actual saying. Well, there's another phrase that starts that out that makes the difference between patriotism and nationalism.
Yes, and we definitely need to bring that particular topic into the mix, and that is the difference between patriotism and nationalism. But go ahead.
Exactly, and the phrase that starts with this, I pray God that my country may always be in the right. Right or wrong, my country, is the actual phrase. And that makes a world of difference, because you're actually asking the deity to intercede so that your country is in the right. Now, the right or wrong, my country thing only goes so far to a true patriot.
Yes.
Because when we see our country doing something wrong, then we become disturbed if we are true patriots. For instance, I was listening to a competitive radio station this Saturday.
We won't talk about our competitors.
No. I won't give you the call letters, but a program I was listening to was having an interview with someone who was in the CIA talking about using quote-unquote, now talk about a propaganda phrase, here it is, enhanced interrogation techniques. Barry, that's a euphemism.
Yes, it is.
It's supposed to make torture palatable, because what it's talking about is torture. And some of the things they're talking about, well, it's really just no big deal. It's sleep deprivation. It's a little bit of waterboarding. It's a little bit of psychological manipulation, keeping the lights on 24 hours a day for a week or maybe 10 days or maybe 2 weeks at a time. And the same thing with sleep deprivation, days and days and days and days. Well, if you've ever gone 24 or 36 hours without sleep, you know what that can do to you.
It can very much create difficulties for your cognitive abilities, for your physical health. It can do a number on you.
In as little as 72 hours, you can die.
Yeah.
And your cognitive abilities just go to zero. And in fact, some people become demented and say things that they have hallucinations and all kinds of things. And we won't even talk about tying people to a board and dipping them in a tub of water and to the point of drowning.
No, we won't talk about that.
Because nowadays, it's a little more sophisticated. They put a wet cloth over your face and pour water over it, and it, quote unquote, gives you the appearance of drowning. Well, appearance or not, if you could suck in water into your lungs and die, then it's a form of torture. So what I heard was this CIA guy saying he never lost sleep over the fact that they were using torture to get information because it was saving American lives. Well, I immediately, because of my training, said to myself, oh, I see, the end justifies the means.
Exactly.
And it took me back to this idea of the difference between nationalism and patriotism. Because a nationalist says, my country is absolutely in the right. Don't confuse me with facts. I don't want to hear it. We live in the greatest country on earth. God is on our side. And therefore, anything that we do to win the war and save American lives is worth it. And we don't have to worry about it.
So in other words, now, it's jingoism.
Well, yeah, to put it bluntly, yes, it is jingoism. Perhaps we should define that phrase for those who maybe don't read the same journals that we read.
Oh, my. Well, I think first we should probably define patriotism, because there is a specific definition for patriotism, Charles. It's one that you and I, as educators in the Institute on the Constitution courses, make sure that we impart to our students almost from the very first class. Actually, it is from the very first class, all the way through the 12 weeks. And it's the definition of patriotism that our founders understood, that comes directly from the Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. And that definition says this. It says, patriotism is a love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man, in the character of a citizen. Now, that's a totally different idea of patriotism than I think modern interpretations come up with. And as a matter of fact, I think that's the reason why we have a situation where we have kind of a blending or a misappropriation of the word patriotism, when actually what they're engaging in is raw nationalism.
Well, that's right. Now, again, nationalism is this idea that your country can do no wrong. It doesn't matter what it does. It is always in the right, and that nothing it can do can ever be wrong because it is always in the right. It's a presupposition of the rightness of everything that they do, that in fact God is somehow completely at the controls and by remote control, and anything that any leader comes up with is A-okay. This is the kind of thing that drove both Stalin's Russia and Hitler's Germany. And it currently drives North Korea and China. And actually, I'm sad to say, I don't want to put this too bluntly, but right now it is driving the United States. How many times have you heard we're the greatest country on earth? And anything we do right now just simply can't be wrong. We have the right to defend ourselves using any methodology we can come up with.
Including being an aggressor when we've not been aggressed against.
Exactly.
And that's where jingoism comes in, Chuck, because what we've just defined is basically an extreme form of nationalism. That's what jingoism is. It's an extreme nationalism. And we are so enamored of our country and our national interests that we'll use force and threats against other countries in order to safeguard our interests. And basically we have, well, shall we say, a detached from the reality of the situation, a bias toward all things in our country. I think you explained it best earlier by saying, you know, my country is the best, it's the greatest, it's the number one, it's God's own country, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's getting onto the edge of jingoist, that will rattle sabers against anybody, and anybody who dares to question the policies, especially the foreign policies of the United States, there's something intrinsically wrong with that person who would question the absolute perfection of the country.
Or question the motives of the country when it's doing something that's wrong. I'm going to quote from an article by William N. Grigg, and I'll make sure we put the link up when we post this on our website. Here's a quote from this article from William Norman Grigg. As historian John J. Dwyer notes, nationalism is a degenerate imposter of patriotism. Quote, the patriot says, I love my country, works for its good, and defends it, if necessary, against enemies within and without. Okay, I'll go for that, right? Now, writes Dwyer, he strives and prays not primarily that God will bless his country, but that his country will bless God. Big difference here.
Very big difference.
The nationalist, meanwhile, says, my country is better than yours. My country is the greatest there ever has been, the greatest nation on God's green earth. They hate my country because it is so good. And you'll notice that Dwyer used the ubiquitous they.
Yes.
And they plug in a blank for they. Do some people hate our country? Yes, they do. Are some people maybe a little slightly justified in disliking us a little bit? Well, from a patriot's perspective, I would have to say the answer to that is yes. We have been very aggressive in certain parts of the world and have inserted ourselves in places where, honestly, we probably should not have been. Now, does that mean that those people are right to attack us? No, we probably should be talking, But right now, one of the problems, Barry, is that when you adopt a nationalistic or jingoistic attitude in your foreign policy, talking becomes impossible, if you understand what I'm saying. It's like trying to talk a bully out of beating your head against the pavement and trying to do it from a position of powerlessness. Good luck. It does not work. And what it requires is good, truly patriotic people to basically come to the forefront and say to the people who are running the foreign policy and say, no, we can't do it this way anymore. This is why you'll see during this presidential campaign, certain presidential candidates were called liberals because they take a different view of foreign policy than the mainstream of their party. I don't think we have to mention who it is. We're not doing a campaign videos or audios here, so you can figure out who we're talking about. But the arguments became long, loud, and ugly and attempted to drown out any opposition to say that people that opposed American foreign policy were liberals automatically. There are people who are against American foreign policy for the wrong reasons. You know, the enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend.
This is also true.
And this is one of the conundrums we find ourselves in, because when you and I say things, you know, and let's face it, this show is running on a holiday that's there to honor America's war dead. And we want to take nothing away from that. These men and women made the ultimate sacrifice so that our country could continue to do the things that it does. Now, what I'm disturbed about is that some of their memories are sullied not by the fact that they were in wars we shouldn't have been in, but by the fact that they were sent by American commanders in chief and by American legislature into conflicts they never should have been in. That is no dishonor upon them. They did their duties, and we honor them for that. Who we disparage in this is the people that came up with the bad foreign policies that sent them there and forced them to sacrifice their lives in an effort that never should have been made. And we're being as gentle as we can with this, because we understand this may make some people angry, and we don't want to do that. We want to make clear the difference between nationalism and patriotism. And we are trying to claim the mantle of patriots for ourselves. And we also want you out there to understand that many of you are also, most of you are also patriots. And we don't want you to get sucked into the very seductive nationalist argument that our country is always right and never wrong.
Well, Chuck, and I could maybe sum this up in a quick comparison difference. Patriotism, we will stand for and rise to protect and defend, as the definition said, our rights and maintain our laws because we believe in a rule of law. We believe that there are non-optional, moral imperative, absolute truths that must be held even to our country. Nationalism believes that we, as long as it serves our final interest of protecting our national interests, we can play fast and loose with our rule of law. The prohibitions in our Constitution for our government, and even with human rights, if it serves some pre-stated state purpose. And that's really a big difference. But the point is that the nationalists like to wrap themselves in the language of patriotism and to obfuscate the difference, the clear difference between someone who stands for a rule and someone who stands just for ruling.
Very well put. Very well put. Well, you know what? We're out of time.
Yeah, I figured as much.
It always happens this way, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to hear from you on this, and we invite you to comment on this program. We ask you to go to our website, www.principledpolicy.com, and use the contact information there to drop us a line if you agree or disagree, or you want to tell us to drop dead. And we'll happily, you know, we'd love to get your comments so we could do a show on it. And we understand if, especially those of you who have children in the military or are the widows or parents of someone who has given their life in the service of the country, we do honor you and we do honor your loved ones. We just don't want that to go to waste. So that being said, join us again for another Principles and Policies, and we look forward to hearing from you.